You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS 91.3 Murray. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm your host, Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte has joined me in the studio, along with Dr. Roger Weiss. He's the Assistant Dean of the College of Health Sciences and Human Services here at Murray State University. Dr. Weiss, thanks so much for being on Sounds Good today.
Thanks for asking.
This is your new role at Murray State after 25 years chairing the Youth and Nonprofit Leadership Studies area. Are you excited about a different job?
I actually like it, but I still teach in Y&L. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But you're a poetry writer on the side.
On the side. I started writing when I was 14. My English teacher was a former Marine, believe it or not, and you either wrote or you paid the price, so I wrote.
The Wall Street Journal this weekend actually mentioned that a Marine person type teacher should be coming back into the picture to make discipline and rote learning more important than it has become. So you got the best of the educational system.
It worked for us, yeah, absolutely.
And then you joined the Marines.
No. I was drafted by the Army.
You were drafted by the Army and wound up in a beach town in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Nha Trang, Vietnam. It's actually a beautiful place. I would go there again as on vacation. I wouldn't go there again as a soldier.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Tracy, Roger, and I have been kind of talking about Nha Trang and some of the experiences there. And you said that the beach was okay during the day, but at night it wasn't a happy place to be at all.
Yeah, it was great in the daytime. It was one of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen. At nighttime, we often got bombarded. And so, no, it wasn't a good place at night.
Man, I that's something that Tracy's generation is removed from. Beach war, you're in desert war now.
Yeah.
So you've been writing all along. When did you write your first book of poetry? You've been writing textbooks for years.
Yeah.
But this last book, Sea Dreams, is your eighth book, and it was preceded by another poetry book, beach-inspired, but not as satisfactory to you as this one, you say.
Yeah, Summer Sands was my first poetry book, and I think I told you earlier, my textbook publisher took mercy on me, and he published my first poetry book. It was really kind of about leaving college, going into the Army, Vietnam. There were some a couple of good poems, I think, in the book, but not really my best work. This one was actually published by a poetry publishing company. And so I do think there are some good good poems in it. One of the things about this book and two other books I have on the market right now, all the royalties that I get go to charities here in Murray, and so I'm happy with that. And I think they'll most people will like this book if they like poetry, if they like the ocean. And all three of these books I'm talking about are on sale at the bookstore here at Murray, and they're also on Amazon.com. So
now it's sort of a murky day outside, a good day to daydream about being at the beach. Would you share a poem which takes us there?
I will. Well, actually, the first poem I'm going to read is not exactly about the ocean itself, but we're going to lead into that one. This one's called Love Beckons. Mysterious at first, slowly peeking through doors and windows and over fields of lilac. Seeking itself in mirrors and signs and books unfolding, sunsets and sunbows, and smiles, lots and lots of smiles and tears. Leaves falling, waves crashing, birds flying, seasons turning, worlds colliding, and love still beckons. The second poem is called On the Way to a Memory. It happens slowly. A song written for your heart only, a spin in a yellow cotton dress, and eyes so wide and hopeful. A soft and caring word, and sunflowers that reflect the brightness of the sky. Handed over with a touch and a kiss that goes on forever, long after the flowers fade. And that summer brought evening fireworks and watermelons in icy tin tubs, under moonlit nights of a warm, dizzy haze of feelings, yet I went closer. The stars disappeared in a time sweep of seasons and left us with each other.
This is sort of the beginning of what I would call the sexy part of the book.
Okay, I like that. okay, this one is called Places in My Heart. There are places in my heart where you smile, where you breathe, where the summer we met never ends, where I see you all the time and where you'll always be, where the sun will always shine, the sand is always warm, and your kisses always bring me to my knees. There are places in my heart. Is that sexy?
Yeah, I think it's pretty sexy. Kisses that bring me to my knees. That's a memorable line, wouldn't you think?
That would be a good
for a guy.
A
you
good
know?
Feeling. Oh yeah. this is actually my favorite poem in this book, and it's called November Sky. The sky is burnt orange as the sun slips into the distant blue of the sea, and the wind is listless, softly swaying cottontails and sending dried seaweed tumbling across the beach. An old gull atop its jetty perch watches the sandpiper skim the ocean waves as dusk turns slowly to dark and night begins. Each sunset calls your heart to seek kisses from blush lips and shadows and moonbeams from days gone by.
A lot of ocean sounds there.
Yeah, and I think picturesque too. You get a real sense of
everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Being there. So. Let's go to the beach. I'm ready.
Yeah. This one's kind of a sad one, but it's called Waiting for Her. She said if ever he couldn't find her, to meet her on the horizon and they'd walk back together. But he only found a man there looking very old and wrapped in a weathered coat, tears gleaming in the sun above his wrinkled cheeks, a crumpled picture in his hand. And as he turned to walk away, the mud from the road clung to his shoes and the sun beat down on his neck.
That one is sad. I prefer to think of the tears in his face being caused by the abrasion of the wind. That's my resolution.
I think you're an optimist. Definitely an optimist. Well, we're gonna brighten your everything up here a little bit with this one. This is called A Walk on the Boardwalk. It's a kaleidoscope of sights, sounds, colors, smells, shapes, and faces. Sunrises and sunsets, wind and storms, suntan lotion and pizzas, and fun piers with Ferris wheels. Eating Italian ices and watching seagulls dive for boardwalk fries while Bikini Top floats in the surf nearby. Stolen glances and smiles with strangers and wondering when love will walk around the next corner, feeling the summer sun, and knowing this may be the best it ever gets, walking on the boardwalk of time.
Now, as you read that, I wonder what your writing practice is. How do you face a blank page? Do you discipline yourself to do this regularly, or tell me about that?
Well, yeah, you have to set some time apart. All writers, I mean, after 8 books, you try to get your work done. Of course, that's important for the for classes, for students, for administration. And then I usually write after all that's done because, you know, those are the most important things. And then I have time in the afternoon to a couple hours to just kind of sit down and put some things to paper. There's one other book that's called Leading with Character, Purpose, and Passion. It's not really a textbook. And it's also on sale at the bookstore and on Amazon.com. It's you can find it through Kendall Hunt Publishing, and it's really about leadership in general, not necessarily a textbook, but it's about leading with your character, leading with passion, and I really like that book. It's a good seller. It's been a good seller, so that's another one that people might want to take a look at. Again, all the profit royalties go to charity this year, and I think it's going to be probably somewhere in the $6,000 to $7,000, maybe $8,000 range. So it stays right here in Murray. But it's a creative thing. After I wrote my dissertation from UK, I never wanted to write another page, to be honest. It took about a year and a half after that. But I started writing again, and the one reason was we didn't have a really good textbook that I thought. And I had a friend who had written a textbook for recreation. As a matter of fact, he's the primary writer for textbooks for recreation in the country. And so I read
That's Dr. Gant.
No. This is another textbook writer at Northern Iowa.
Who is that person? I'm sorry.
He caught me off guard.
Sorry.
Edgington, Dr. Edgington. And a really nice person, but he's written, gosh, well over 10 textbooks. And so I read his book, and I thought, I think I could do that. So I called him, and I said, I'd like to use your format, not your textbook, of course. And he was very encouraging. So when I just changed content and used his format, and it took 2 years to write the first textbook, and I sent the content to him, and he liked it, and he actually sent it to a friend who was a publisher, and the publisher published it.
Gosh,
so my first book was actually published by the first time I sent it out, which never happens. I mean, that's like winning the lottery. It's unbelievable. And so I had a publisher for the first book and second book, and I think I've only had maybe one or two or three documents not published. So it was really a lucky thing to have a friend. And it just got easier as time went on because you've already had, you know, your first book published.
But is it more fun to write poetry?
Oh God, yes. I'm only going to do one more second edition of a textbook, and then I never want to write another textbook. I'm sorry, but they're boring. And I've got at least one more poetry book in me, and I'm thinking about a novel. But the thing is, novels are completely different, and you really have to know what you're doing. And I really don't.
But you seem to have searched out a comfortableness with it. And I'd like to kind of go back to Natriang and ask you more about how the Vietnam War experience changed your life, because it's a pretty interesting story.
Well, when I was drafted, that means I didn't have a choice. I could go to Vietnam, or I could go to Canada, or I could go to jail. And I actually took the coward's choice, and I went to Vietnam. I didn't want to go to jail. I didn't want to go to Canada for the rest of my life. And I went to Vietnam, and it was scary. And although I was lucky in the sense that I became an editor and a reporter over there, and on the sideline, I got to be a community liaison, which means I helped GIs work with orphanages and hospitals. And before that, I wanted to be a dentist. After that, I decided to work with people over here and help them in any way I could. So I became, I worked with nonprofits, and that changed my life, and really enjoyed that. I did it for 15 years. Now I teach those skill areas with the Youth and Nonprofit Leadership, soon to be called Nonprofit Leadership Alliance. So it completely changed my life. And, the reason I wanted to be a dentist was to make a lot of money and drive big cars and like my cousin. And I thought that was what you did in life. But it was completely different. The career I chose has much more meaning to me. And you don't drive big cars and make a lot of money, but you make a difference in people's lives, and you have fun doing that. And I think every day of your life you should have fun. If you're not having fun, do something different. I'm sure you have fun with the radio, or you wouldn't have been here for how many years?
20-some-odd.
Okay, 20-some-odd. Yeah, you've been here longer than I have. And it was a blessing and a curse at the same time, but more of a blessing than a curse. So,
Roger Weiss, I really appreciate you dropping by with Sea Dreams. Again, Sea Dreams is a book available at Amazon.com and the Murray State University bookstore. It's $14, and proceeds go to charity, as do the other titles that Dr. Weiss has written. Thank you for being with us
today. Thank you very much. It's been fun. I appreciate it.